Joel, it's Miles. Thank you guys for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast.
Have you heard our newest podcast? It's called The Greatest Story Never Told.
Download it today on radio.com. Be sure to subscribe. New episodes are uploaded every Tuesday at noon.
This is the Men's Room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. Kicksville. The Pippers, the Grasshoppers, the Hit Ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying eyes a kite.
You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Say hello to our friends at 98.5 K-Fox, the South Bay's classic rock station in beautiful San Jose, California, joining us. Also, Portland's classic rock, 92.3 KGON. And today, our question, when did you say, I did not think that that would happen? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Greg. Welcome to The Men's Room.
Hola, the Cholas.
Hola.
Greg, hola.
How you guys doing?
Doing good, Matt. How are you?
Doing all right. Finishing on my last site for the day.
Oh, see, Ted said you were on your third from your last site, and Steve had a bet on that you were done for the day.
But the one thing that most people don't know is when he says site, is a career criminal.
Right.
And so he might be robbing your home
right
now.
I guess so. We owe you a dollar.
You'll never know.
Right. So when did you say I didn't think that would happen?
All right. So if you guys have ever been to Yellowstone, you know that when you're driving along, an animal will go on the road and everyone will back up for miles to take pictures of it, and you'll get stuck in these traffic jams. Right?
I have not been to Yellowstone. I understand that that happens. I know people will take pictures, but I would not get out of my vehicle to do so.
That would make me a little agitated.
But yeah, so I've heard that a million times. All right.
Sure. So I'm with my wife and my in-laws, and we're all in our car, and we're just in one of these traffic jams, and there's a bunch of bison everywhere, and we're just cruising along, and so we're stop-and-go traffic, and eventually we stop, and on the side of the road, about 10 feet from our car, is this big, full-grown male bison. So I roll down my window, just like, you know, look at him, take a picture or whatever, and I think myself, hey, I'll talk to the bison, it'll be funny, like, you know, what can happen. And so I look at the bison and I say, hey man, how about a grunt? And this bison turns its head and looks at me and opens its mouth and goes, wah, and just bellows for like 30 goddamn seconds at us, and and we're all just dying laughing. We can't believe that this just happened. And then we had to drive away. There was big old bison.
I got a couple of questions for you.
That's great.
When it does that, what is the smell that follows?
I didn't notice any smell. I think we were far enough away that he didn't get his breath or anything.
And then how big is it to look at? You know, because I hear about this stuff. I imagine they're large. I get it. But having not seen one in person.
So we were in my wife's car, which is a Toyota Highlander.
Okay.
This thing is almost as big as her car.
I look at
that is a
probably
big
like
ass
thing
animal
that the Tusken Raiders rode in Star Wars. That's what I think of when I think of
that.
Tusken Raiders.
Ted, every time I hear bison come out of anyone's mouth, I naturally think of you because you've been the biggest bison supporter ever since I've known you.
Yeah.
Now my question is,
family argument.
I was just thinking about this. I don't know that I've actually seen a bison before. Like, even in captivity, I don't know that I've ever actually seen one. Have you ever seen a bison?
Yeah.
In the wild?
No, at a zoo.
Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah. I think that's one of those things I got to do.
An American bison?
Yeah.
Yeah.
North American bison.
It always just seems weird when you go to the zoo.
I've eaten one.
Like, I feel like if I went to the zoo, say, somewhere in Africa, like Algonia. I go to the great Algonia Metropolitan Zoo.
Out of London.
I feel like the animals I'd want to see there would be, I want to see deer, I want to see gray wolves, I want to see grizzly bears, like, because I would think if I lived there, the legendary stuff is in North America, South America. I'm never going to see these things. And I know this is like everyone in Africa sees a lion. I get that. But it's the point, as far as what you consider exotic, like, you don't think of a bear as being an exotic animal, because let's face it,
not
they
anymore.
Live in, but if I live in a continent that does not have, or at least not the bears we have, then a grizzly bear or a wolf, a freaking squirrel is going to seem somewhat exotic. Like, we can look at a meerkat and be like, look at these cute little things. I think if you live in a place where meerkats are like, yeah, we hate these things. We hit them with cars. You know, the same things we feel about squirrels. So I just feel like
seals aren't as cool now because, like,
yeah, they're
on the West Coast and you can see them.
Nah, dude, it's because of that tweet they put out like 8 months ago, and now everyone's like down on seals. I know.
Right, but I'm just saying, like, the National Zoo in D.C.
They dropped the N word.
As a child, I never thought I'd see a bison or a bear.
Okay, all right, as a kid, all right, a kid.
So I'm saying, I get why the National Zoo had that stuff.
I feel like as an adult, I used to go look
at bald eagles. Now I live in the Northwest. You can see them all the time.
Ryan Castle tells me the story, and it's just how he is. So he is at the zoo in Seattle, Washington, all right? And they're standing in front of the lion enclosure. Now, one thing we do not have in the Pacific Northwest are lions.
Very few.
One thing we have plenty of in the Pacific Northwest are bald eagles. So he's at the zoo, and they're looking at the lions. And I guess there's a woman there with her kid or whatever the situation was. But he says, like, a bald eagle lands to do what bald eagles do, which is eat trash. So this thing lands, and it's doing its thing. But this woman's like,
oh, look, it's dumpster diving.
Honey, look, look, baby, look, look, look. There's a bald eagle. Oh, my goodness. It's Castle. Bing Castle's like, and look right there. There's a goddamn lion. It's like, I just couldn't take it, man. Like, you're at a zoo looking at a lion. She's like, look at that eagle. He's like, yeah.
They're everywhere.
They live here.
They're in a Walmart parking lot.
God damn.
When did you say I didn't think that would happen? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Pamela. Welcome to the men's
room. They are amazing when you do see them. They're huge.
Hi,
they
how are you? Monsters.
Hola. Well, hello, Pamela.
Hola. So my story is, when I was 16, I'm a tomboy, and so when I was 16, me and a friend were playing chicken with BB guns. See how close we could get to hitting each other.
Okay. Hello,
and
you.
Okay. I got shot in just right above my eyeball, and I didn't want to tell my mom because she would have took my BB gun away. So I told her that it ricocheted off the house.
And do you still have a BB in your eyeball?
No, they took it out.
Oh, but it did go in there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Was it like a surgery, or did they just like numb you up, grab tweezers, and pull it out?
Yeah, they just numbed me up and pulled it out that afternoon.
Yeah, we kind of.
I lied to the doctors too because my mom was there.
That's a good call.
Well, mm-hmm. You have to. Once you start to lie, man, you know, and if you're a minor, your parents are in the room with you. Like, yeah. Yeah, yeah. If it makes you feel any better, the only person that believed it ricocheted, if she believed it at all, is your mom.
Mm-hmm.
The doctor's yeah, sure it did, man.
There was one thing we did as kids a lot. We would get into BB gun wars.
Sure.
And it was just, you know, hopefully you didn't get hit in the eye was the only thing that you worried about. But
yeah,
the adrenaline was very similar to paintball. Because when you got hit, man, it hurt. So even with, and the only rule we had,
one ever said it. They just said, look, it's not a bullet.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, it's safe.
Our rules were this. You had to use a Daisy gun because a Daisy BB gun wasn't as powerful as a crossbow.
I was going
to
say, you're the one kid.
Which was a pump gun that also had a pellet option where you could definitely do some damage.
Yes.
So we couldn't use those. We had to use Daisy guns or pistols. The pistols were a little softer fire.
I remember those.
So they didn't
suck.
Yeah, they didn't really have the same velocity, which was fine, basically. But it's
being that we're children, probably.
But it still hurt when you got hit.
Yes.
Man. You'd When did you say I didn't think that would happen? 844-999-OLA.
And how many kids got hit in the eye?
Nobody got hit in the eye. Nobody got hit in the eye. I do remember.
No, you're saying it in a way that what other tragedy befell you?
Okay,
the way you said that's like,
well,
nobody got hit in the eye.
All right, okay. Truth be told.
Nobody else was on
Truth time. Be told, in the summer, the junior high marching band would practice marching up and down our street every day because we live very close to the school. Now, this is the summer. We are kids. The one thing the kids love about the summer is we can sleep in. Mm. We don't have to get up at 6:30 to drag our ass to school.
I'm sure my daughter got that.
We don't have to do all those things. We could actually sleep in. So as the time goes on, this band is practicing earlier and earlier and earlier. It's practicing at like 7:30 in the morning. Keep in mind, we all go to school together. These are our friends. These are our peers. But still, it's getting to be ridiculous. So me and my buddy Christian and my other buddy Jeff, we come up with a crossfire plan. All right. We're going to shoot them with BBs, all right? And we're going to take different positions in this one place, kind of like, you know, like we triangulated our ideas. We knew where we were going to come from behind separate houses, and we were going to fire away. Because you know what? We were up all night anyway. We knew they were coming up the street.
That's the band's fault.
And we were like, you know what we're going to do this morning? We're going to take them out. So
like Bugsy Malone.
So we get in camo. We get behind bushes and all this stuff. And one of my good friends still to this day, Craig, he plays tuba. He plays tuba.
Sousaphone, if it's a marching band, Miles.
And I just
I see him grab his calf and just go down. He just goes down. And I'm like, oh!
How many times did you pump this
thing? Christian took the first shots, so right. I heard like, ding, ding. Like,
oh, bouncing off the instruments.
Oh, you hit instruments, right? But I hit Craig in the leg. Craig just goes down, right? So, but he's one of my, he was the last person I wanted to hit.
Yeah, obviously.
But he's also last in line, so I waited for most of the band to get, Tuba's in the back, you see.
Yeah,
so I waited for the band to kind of get behind me, kind of case kind of take off running. And I hit Craig, and so we kind of just waited, and we waited, and we waited, and just find out if we could hear anything that happened. And Craig's like, a couple days later, we see him. He's like, because he lived in a different neighborhood. We didn't normally hang out in the summertime, but we saw him getting ready for football. And he's like, yeah, hey, man, I got stung by a bee right out in front of your house.
Did you ever tell him?
Hell no. I mean, he told him later. Like, we shot him.
He just told
him,
hey, man.
Oh, but he thought, oh, we're like, oh, wow. Thank God.
How long is he on the ground?
We're like 12, 13. He was down for a minute. You know what I mean, like, and then he had to get up with his freaking tube around his neck. Like, it was
that's
so
the worst.
It was so funny watching him fall because it's such a slow motion thing. You can see him go like, because he made some noise because he was playing, and then, like, the whole thing just falls, like, collapsed to the pile.
Oh man,
so crazy.
But no one got shot in the eye.
No, no one lost an eye.
Don't
run with scissors, kids. When did you say, that was a long time ago, when did you say I didn't think that would happen? 844-999-OLA.
But I remember like it's yesterday.
Yes, I sure do. God, I'll never forget that.
Hello, Jason. Welcome to the men's room.
Liquor and whores.
Liquor and whores.
First time caller, love the show, guys.
Hey, thank you, man.
All right, so back in high school, me and my friends were filming a movie just for us, not for school. And we had these BB guns, and they were... they look pretty realistic, so we used them for our movie. So we spray painted them, the orange part, black.
Mm-hmm.
And so we start driving around, shooting our scenes. And then from nightfall, we start shooting the final scenes in my friend's house, and they tell me to get out because I was annoying them. I go outside, and I see the prop guns on the ground. I decide to pick one up because, you know, I'm a kid. They're cool. Start pointing it. All of a sudden, I hear a voice to my right say, can you tell me what that is, son? It was a police officer. Immediately, I throw the gun down, throw my hands up, and I'm sweating bullets. And I said, it's fake, it's not real. I'm sorry. I looked to my left. What made it worse was there were two SWAT officers pointing the rifles at me.
How's the movie?
it was awful. It was like a spinoff of Rush Hour. I don't know. It was terrible.
If you still have a copy, please send it to us.
Yeah,
I would love to watch that.
What did you say? I didn't think that would happen. 844-999-OLA. Hold the line. More of your calls coming up. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
So the story goes, people do some crazy things when they get dumped, but this is a new one. A woman on Reddit claims she woke up with her boyfriend Monday night, and she broke up with him on Monday night. He responded by stealing her toilet. She went to bed while he was still packing up the last of his stuff, and when she woke up, he was gone, along with the only toilet in their apartment. She posted a photo of her bathroom, and there's just an open pipe in the floor where the toilet should be. She said her old toilet broke a few months ago, and instead of letting her landlord handle it, the boyfriend wanted to do it because he works as a plumber. But then he constantly complained about how much money he spent on it. She said that after she broke up with him, the first thing he said was, I'm taking that effing toilet. But she didn't think he was serious, because who does that? Apparently, she talked to the cops about it, but it's not clear if they're going to do anything either. Someone was supposed to come and put in a new toilet for her the other day, but in the meantime, she was using the bathroom, ironically enough, at a Taco Bell down the street. Our
yeah,
question,
go figure.
When did you say I did not think that would happen? 844-999-OLA.
It's not illegal, is it? We share an apartment. I have purchased the toilet, right? I got the landlord off the hook, because at the point that you choose to do it, landlord's off the hook. I have installed the toilet. And then we break up, I take my toilet with me. It's a douche move, but then I break any laws.
I think that what should not have been done by the landlord or the apartment person is that they should not have allowed someone else to install said toilet in their own facility.
Yeah, but I get it, because if the guy says I'm a plumber,
right,
and
guess.
Now
I mean,
I'm not paying for
sure.
it, like, yeah, go ahead, man.
Okay, yeah, that's a good point.
Did he break any laws? I mean, in theory, right, because like, all right, you get in a relationship, we live together,
I bought
the
steal
TV.
Where are you going to sell a used toilet? Oh, my girlfriend only sat on it for 2 months.
Oh, dude, they saw you use toilets all the time.
I've only pooped on this thing 5 times.
Oh, absolutely. You'd be gone with that thing in no time. But the thing is, like, when you take it, is that illegal? I mean, I know it's a toilet, but technically it's my toilet.
I don't know.
What did you say? I did not think that that would happen. 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Jeff. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, girls and ganja.
Hola.
How you doing, guys?
Doing well, sir.
All right, so my story is June 27th, 2007. Me and the family just moved from Kent Island, Maryland, and we bought a house in Puyallup. So Puyallup's pretty close to Mount Rainier. We thought it was pretty. Let's go sightseeing. So since I got a bunch of kids, four at the home at the time, not all of us would fit in the car, so I drove my motorcycle. So they followed me. So we got on 410 in Bonnie Lake, and the next thing I knew, I woke up 4 months later in Harborview with my left leg missing below the knee and a lot of other stuff broken up, and that was kind of shocking.
I bet that was
you
crazy.
Don't say that was shocking.
You were just going out for a nice drive, and the next thing you know, you wake up and you have no leg.
So you hop on the motorcycle. Yeah. And by the way, well played. I can't fit in the car with the kids. I'll ride separate. So you get on the motorcycle, and the next time you wake up, it's 4 months later with all this stuff. So what are the blanks that people filled in for you?
What major thing happened?
All right, so we're driving down 410 to Body Lake, which is a 50-mile-an-hour road, and some guy falls asleep at the wheel and crosses the WL line, hits me head-on, and then hits my family in the car behind me. They were okay, but me, ambulance ride to St. Joe saying no way, helicopter ride to Harborview, and then, you know, all the stuff, you know, leg was obviously shattered pretty bad, and you know the femur on the same side was compound fractured. And one of the shocking things, when you wake up in a nursing home, your pelvis that's shattered has a bar going across your pelvis, so it's externally fixated. So that's kind of shocking.
That is crazy. Okay,
So wait, when you open, is there anyone else in the room at the moment you wake up, or do you just wake up and you're taking all of this in?
I woke up and take it all in. The nurses walked in shortly thereafter, but I took it all in myself.
But could you piece it together? Could you put it together?
I knew that I left the house in my motorcycle, and I woke up in a hospital with all the stuff missing, so I knew that something
did
bad
you,
had to go
how
there.
How long did you think it had gone
by? Did that seem like 5 minutes? Did that seem like 5 months? Did that seem like you've been in this state?
It just seemed like a night of sleeping is what it seemed like.
And you just woke up, and now 4 months had passed. What were some of the major things that happened in the news that you were not aware of that you found out after you regained consciousness?
You know, there was nothing really very, very different that happened in that 4 months. You know, it was the same old stuff. You know, Bush was president at the time, you know. So
okay. Did you miss Christmas? Different. Did you miss any birthdays? Did
Super
you miss,
Bowl?
Yeah.
I missed my son's birthday, and I missed Christmas. So
are there heartbreaking pictures of like your son at the bedside and you're out of it, like in a coma, you know what I mean, on his birthday, which is not how you'd want to spend your birthday?
Well, the thing was, you know, from Harborview, I went to a skilled care facility, so a nursing home basically, and was there for a little while. And then my wife at the time decided to be the saint that she was and decided to get a hospital bed for home and care for me, which I was still, you know, not able to walk, so I still needed to be changed and all my bandages nursed and all that kind of stuff.
How long did it take you to come to terms with everything that had gone down? Because when you find out you've been asleep for 4.5 months, you're missing a leg that you had before you went to sleep, all this stuff. I mean, how long does it take just mentally to wrap your head around this reality that you literally woke up to?
Well, I think the reality of that is actually pretty fast because, you know, I mean, that stuff is there. There's no denying it. So, I mean, the reality came to that. I mean, you know, I also broke all the bones in my left hand, which, and I'm left-handed, so that kind of sucks. But,
what leg did you lose?
I lost my left leg, below the knee.
I got to ask. Do you get any, I mean, you would hope you could sue and get caught. Like, if I lost a leg, like, I'm getting $1 million or something, right? I mean, do you get a chance to.
But you got ugly legs. I'd get at least, like, $3 million.
But, I mean, I know you got to pay all the medical bills and all that stuff, but, I mean, like, well, I just feel like there's got to be some kind of compensation, you know?
Washington state law says that if you injure somebody, the only thing that you can be responsible for is the maximum on your insurance. So if he's minimally insured, then you get a minimal payment. Right. And so I got $160,000 out of the deal, but my ex-wife managed to put most of that into the casino, so.
Did you lose money when you were in a coma, maybe, even?
No.
Okay.
All right, one more question. You're in a coma. Like, do you ever have a dream of, like, the afterlife or something? Or is the coma part, like, you don't remember any of being in there?
No, I don't remember any of it being in the, you know, there's a couple fleeting memories of the hospital room and nurses and stuff like that, but no conversations or nothing specific.
Okay, and I'm one thing, and I've always wanted to know this. So you wake up after 4.5 months. How bad is your breath? I mean, like, how bad is your breath? Man, look, my daughter sleeps, say, 8-9 hours, and I swear to God, either she's smoking turds or eating poop or something, because when she wakes up in the morning, I'm like, how long have we been asleep? Because it smells like you're dead. So what did your mouth taste like?
I think in perspective, that was really the last of my worries.
But I'm sure it was.
I do remember they have these little sticks with sponges on them that have a kind of a water solution that they rinse your mouth out with.
Ah, okay. And did anyone keep a ledger or a diary of your progress while you were out? What was going on? Did you have any way to find out what was going on when you were, you know, out of it for 4.5 months?
No, I mean, I just got, you know, my family was pretty good and they were there most of the time. So, you know, that was tough on them. So I got most of the information, you know, things like, you know, they wanted to amputate my leg above the knee, which is a lot bigger deal than below the knee, but my family was able to convince them not to, thank God, and now everything turned out perfect.
Now, the next thing here, all right, so you said that you're no longer with that wife?
No.
Now, did this have anything to do with all that, or was it just the fact that she couldn't control her gambling?
No, it had the fact to do with, after all the opiates were gone,
four kids.
And I'm still feeling sorry for myself, I turned into an alcoholic, and that pretty much ended that deal.
Okay. All right.
Well, what about now, man? I mean, how you doing? Because obviously this is life-changing. There's no question about that. So you go through the alcohol, you go through the depression, you still don't have a leg, all this stuff. So how does it all shake out in the end?
Well, I'll tell you how it shakes out in the end. I mean, for the amputation-wise, I was fortunate enough to be to get to a prosthetic tip that is considered to be the best in the world and operates in Puyallup. So I've got the Ferrari of legs.
Okay, all right. That's cool.
I used to say that about myself.
Is it can you run?
Well, I have a flexion contracture in my knee, which basically means that I can't bend my knee all the way. That's just part of the accident. So I can't run. But this kind of leg runs, jumps, sprints, does all that stuff.
Okay, but the real question, did you run before? Like, I'm not a runner. Well, so if they said you can never run, I'm like, cool.
That's the thing. I'm not missing out on anything that I did do before.
Right.
And now the way it really shakes out, I'm divorced and all that stuff. You know, I live alone. But, you know, to be honest, I'm retired. I get disability and I'm fairly well off. So, you know, it's life is pretty good. I really got no complaints. I mean,
okay, good.
You know, I suppose a girlfriend would be nice, but I've come to find out that they're more trouble than they're worth, to be honest.
So you've also gained wisdom.
This coming from a man who lost his leg.
No, I'm not going to do anything dangerous right. like that. Are you crazy?
Right.
I'd rather drive a motorcycle.
That's too much.
I would never get into a
man who lost his legs for 4.5 months in a coma. Oh, no.
No way.
That's too much trouble.
I know a lot of people like that. I really do. Like, no way. No. When did you say I did not think that would happen? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Taylor. Welcome to the men's room.
Liquor and whores. All right. So, there's one time I was at a bar downtown. And I was having some adult pops, and I just remember going into the bathroom, and it's the typical, you know, the two stalls, you got your little divider piece of wall or whatever.
Right.
And I start going, and I, out of the peritz, the guy next to me does that little shiver, and I feel just splash on my foot and my shoe.
Oh! Good thing you weren't in flip-flops.
Oh, yeah, no. Closed-toed shoe, but still, like, you hear it, you feel it, you know.
Did you say anything?
I looked right over and I was like, man. And he immediately was like, dude, I'm so sorry. You want to give me back?
Right.
And I was like, what? He goes, yeah, just splash a little my shoe. And I had enough in the tank that I just tossed a little whip.
Even.
Yeah, gave him a knock after we washed our hands. And, it was a great rest of the night.
All right, cool, man.
You know, man, that's fair. Like, dude, I'm sorry. Dude, the worst I've had in a bathroom.
Oh, boy.
The first time I went to England, I didn't realize they had the trough system. But the way they do the trough, it's not real obvious, at least not at the place I was at. So it's almost like walking onto the set of some weird sci-fi movie, like A Clockwork Orange. It's just this white tile floor, there are four white tile walls, and then there's a row of sinks, right? So obviously I had to rewash your hands. And when I walk in, it's a restaurant. So when I walk in, there's no one else in there. And to the best of my ability, I have simply walked into a white tiled room. There's not a drain on, there's nothing.
So you pee on a wall and it goes down into a...
Okay, I didn't know this, because the way they do the trough, because this was a quote-unquote nicer place, wasn't that nice, but the bathroom's decent. So a lot of places, if it's a trough, you clearly see the trough lined against the wall.
Yeah.
They had it recessed a little bit and then kind of moved
it's
the tile
like a
up.
Hidden trough.
Right. So when you looked in, you're not looking just straight where you pee, but the thing is, because it's all white tile in these lines, just the way the optical illusion works, there's nowhere to pee, so I'm standing in there, and I mean, I don't want to walk out and ask someone, because that seems ridiculous. So finally, I'm like, F it, man. I can't hold it anymore. And I'm just about to break out the Jimmy because I'm just going to pee in the sink. And this dude walks in. And when he walks in, it's just this weird thing. It's obvious what I'm planning to do. Okay, I'm in that position where my hands are in my pants. And obviously, I'm going to whip it out and pee in the sink. So when he walks in, he gives me this weird look. I kind of look at him, but then I avert my eyes because whatever's going on. Like, I know I'm making him uncomfortable. I don't know what's going on. And I just see him. It was almost like the end of, what was the movie? The Blair Witch Project. At the very end of the movie, there's that girl in the corner, and you don't know.
Yeah, kind of levitating.
Right, so I look over at him, and as best I can tell, he's just standing in the corner of a room doing nothing. And then I hear the... So I kind of saunter over and realize, oh, there's the trough. But as I'm going through this, I don't realize he's kind of looking at me, because now he just sees this creepy black dude.
Who's this guy coming up on the
slowly,
he's probably nervous.
Yes, because I realize I'm like tiptoeing up to him behind him, because I'm trying to figure out what he's doing. Then we kind of met eyes again, and I'm like, man, I'm so sorry. And in that instant, he starts laughing. He goes, oh, you're a Yank. You're American. It's all good, man. He's like, yeah, you have toilets. I said, man, we have urinals. He's like, Mike, just pee on the wall. Just pee on the wall. That goes. I'm like, and man, when I did it, it's like the best sense of freedom. Like, you feel free because you can pee like outdoors you, like as a guy. But to pee on a wall,
you know,
and everyone says, no, please. Pee on the wall.
You ever get one of those big troughs where they put ice in there and you pee on ice?
Yeah, but all that steam comes up, dude, cool. And you're getting like pee
I just
vape.
To tell you, my family is obsessed with the troughs.
Peeing on ice?
Really?
No, the troughs. Like if somebody goes to a college football, like the first time I ever went to Husky Stadium, my dad's like, Ted, I got old school troughs in here.
Right.
Why do we have to get so excited about
please
this?
Please don't
like
yell that
train station.
Like my brother gets fired up.
Hello, Jeremy. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bicholas.
Hola.
How are you guys doing today?
Doing good, man. Thanks.
Well, my story is back on the BB gun topic. So when I was younger, we used to skateboard in a cul-de-sac and stuff, and we would do stupid stuff, you know, like shoot each other while we're riding rails and whatnot. Well, after we were done one day, I was taking my buddies home, and we dropped one of my friends off. And my other friend in the passenger side thought it'd be funny to pump the BB gun as hard as he could and shoot it at the house. Well, it shot through the screen door and went next to our friend and into their wall, and to which our friend's parents decided to press charges.
Oh!
And he went to Raymond Hall for a little while and had a big court case. I had to show up in court and stuff and testify for him. It was a big mess.
Now, were your one friend's parents, were they known to be a-holes, or did this kind of blindside you?
It was kind of a broadside. They were really cool people. Like, we did not expect that from them. Like, we were like, oh, well, it was, you know, we were just playing around, you know?
And how old were you again?
Gosh, we were, I think I was about 16 and he was about 15 or 14 years old at that time.
Right, acting like the idiots that you are that age. Like, come on, man.
Yeah, that's what I said. And we were just really shocked. And it was just a big to-do over something so simple.
Well, how was it? I mean, did your friendship get tense with the son of the lawsuity parents? Like, if this was your buddy, but now you have a friend, and now that friend's parents are pressing charges against your other friend for something obviously very minuscule. Does that strain your relationship with him? Not the guy that fired the BB, but the guy that lives in the house.
Well, you know, we still stay pretty good friends. I just don't I don't think that those two got along too much after that because of the incident.
Yeah, I bet they did. God damn. I mean, in theory, any interaction you have with teenagers in the course of a day, you could. I don't even know anyone who has not done something illegal in the time I've talked to them. But one, there's just so many ridiculous laws on the books. But like, man, you could call the cops on anybody. for anything. But that is not the reason I would call the cops. No. You can go out there and have a talk with them and explain all this, and they'll get it.
No, we've all got a window of Rumspringa that we give people, and right. people hopefully give us.
You it's know. Your teen year, right? Right. You know, teen like, years, yeah. you get certain things. And then between like 18 and 22, there's a kind of a new set of things you can get away with. And then after that, like, look, all right, now you're getting treated like an adult. Yeah. But you get your
and
opportunity.
Eventually, you got to just take all your posters off your wall.
I was going to say, that's the other problem, too, with like a 16, 17-year-old boy. Like, some of them are kind of big, feeling their oats.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes they'll talk trash, but it's like, I can't hit you.
Right. I still can't hit you.
Right? But it's like, you get angry. Like, it happened to me a while ago on a bus. Just, I don't know, something happened, and I kind of told the kid, like, you know. But I'm like, you win. There's nothing I could do besides be the old guy yelling at you.
Come back on your 18th birthday, man.
Yeah. See you when you're 19.
You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
Hola, bitchola. You have entered the men's room.
A Louisville man was arrested Friday afternoon after police say he stole several items, including 99 packs of Pokemon cards from Family Dollar. Police received a report that a male in a red shirt had been shoplifting at the store. When officers arrived, they allegedly found 33-year-old Michael LaRocco walking away from the store carrying several items of merchandise in his hands. Police say he did match the description of the suspected shoplifter. When police confronted Michael, he admitted that he already planned on taking merchandise from the store, but when an employee antagonized him about taking the merchandise, he decided to take more out of spite because he did not like the way she was treating him.
Aha! Uh-huh.
Police say Michael had stolen 99 packs of Pokemon cards, a pair of shoes, a pair of socks, and chopped ham that he had stuffed down into his underwear.
Guarantees he can keep that.
In total, police say he took valued merchandise over $120. Chopped ham in his underwear.
So wait, how many different... So 99 packs of cards...
A pair of shoes, a pair of socks, and chopped ham that he had stuffed down into his underwear. Chopped
I'm saying ham. Dollar chopped store. Was it Dollar General? Mm. That's your money's worth.
When's the last time you had a chip chopped ham sandwich? That's
probably when my grandmother was still alive.
Know,
but and I thought it was delicious.
It was good at the time.
But that kind of ruined
beef?
It.
Yeah, fried chipped ham sandwich. Ever have one of those?
No, but we eat a lot of cream chip beef in my house.
Okay. It's so good.
It is.
It's just salt and nothing else.
That's it. That's on a shingle, right?
Yeah. When did you say, I didn't think that would happen? 844-999-OLA.
And it's amazing that something called S on a shingle is so delicious. Like when it someone is. Says, do you want S on a shingle? The fact that you respond, yes, I do. Make it a double.
I never heard that term that much until I went to the Army-Navy game, and the hotel was basically all military people.
Oh, yeah.
So me and my buddy walked out, like, cool, cream chip beef. And then everybody came down and was like, S on a shingle, S on a shingle.
Yes, right.
All right, I get what you guys call it.
Change the menu. Hello, Amanda. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
All right, so... I accidentally drank antifreeze one time.
Oh, that'll kill you. How did you accidentally drink it? Was it accidentally in a glass with ice?
It was, exactly, yes.
No, it wasn't.
Wait, what?
Who did that?
It was.
Who would do such a thing?
So, my dad and his ex-girlfriend, she had three kids, and, sorry, and we didn't live with them, so they weren't, like, we weren't used to...
Hello.
And
oh, stop. Man.
Is that what that sound is?
I think the antifreeze finally caught up to her. Because that stuff, it's slow. It's like a lifetime movie. It takes a long time to kill.
I want to know why. So,
was she going to say that her stepmom tried to kill her?
Okay, look, I'm just going to speculate. We jokingly said, was it in a glass of ice? She says, yeah. And then talks about the ex-girlfriend of her dad. So I have to think.
Was that the woman you were talking about earlier, Mike? Oh, okay. All right. Let's see if we can get her back on the phone. Call back, please.
Can we change the color of antifreeze?
So it won't look like Mountain Dew? I mean, how much more like goo and slime?
Gatorade.
Well, I think they just mix it with... I don't think you drink it... Like, look, all I know about... Well, let me rephrase that. I understand the mechanical applications of antifreeze, and then the other application of antifreeze I've heard is thanks to things like Dateline and blah, blah, blah.
But you understand...
It tastes sweet. They mix it with something.
Like
apple
that's
juice
it.
Is what I've heard... Kool-Aid, whatever it is, and then as these stories unfold...
Oh, like, no.
Nine times out of ten, the way it goes down, if there's a murder and the woman was murdered, it is a freaking bloodbath or a gunshot, mm-hmm. strangled staff, and the husband did it. If the guy died, it's always mysterious circumstances, because for 6 months he wasn't feeling well, and there wasn't enough in his system at any time he went to the hospital that they noticed anything's wrong. Then he's bedridden for a month, and then finally he dies. And then 20 years later, they say, Jesus Christ, we figured out she poisoned him with antifreeze.
Antifreeze is the only poison that tastes good. So everything else tastes like,
Whiskey, beer?
Well, yeah. I mean,
but yes, one that will immediately kill you, sure.
But you would never know that it's in there. And so
I just remember as a kid, it was a massive thing. Like, don't get near it. Don't drink it.
Because it tastes good.
That's why if you spill some in your driveway, if an animal comes up, they will want to eat it because it's sweet, and then they'll die.
So
we got all the, rid of all our pets. Mm-hmm. You know what's weird about that, though, is like, look, antifreeze, you have to say, look, man, especially to kids, it's bright green, like half the toys you play with, and it tastes good. It tastes very sweet, but it'll kill you. The Tide Pod Challenge, you're telling teenagers, hey, man, don't eat this thing that, frankly, looks like Aquafresh toothpaste, but it doesn't even taste good. You know what it tastes like? It tastes like laundry detergent. Like, right. It'd be different if it tasted like antifreeze. You'd be like, all right, I get how the stupid level has gotten here, but... Hey, guys, seriously, you can't drink it, right?
Yeah.
Shouldn't they do something to make it taste better? Like, natural gas doesn't have a smell, so they add whatever they add.
So you know.
So that we can smell it, because it's dangerous. Like, you need to know that that's a problem.
They should just change, the flavor of it.
That's what I mean.
But like, it tastes like crap. I never knew antifreeze tasted anyway.
Oh, try it when you get home.
To me, it was just always like, it looked like a giant bottle of Gatorade.
It does, and apparently it tastes for. I mean, I've never tried it, but the whole thing is that it
don't.
I'm not going to.
When did you say I didn't think that would happen? 844-999-OLA.
What
you know that'll be the next thing. It's the antifreeze challenge.
Just dilute it with water.
Yeah, you want it to wear a winter coat. You'll just glow.
Hello, Marston. Welcome to the men's room.
Hold on, Marston. Come back. Turn down your radio, too, because
we need you to do that.
All right, question. When did you say I didn't think that would happen? Still to come, who sucks less? And we will review some men's room rules. That is all coming up.
Shenanigans continue on the Men's Room Radio Network.